series and we're going into the new year with something else. We're doing a series called Doubts. Doubts. So if you're taking notes, because somehow we don't always remember everything that comes out of my mouth an hour later. So we take notes. So we're doing a series called Doubts, or more specifically, Doubting God. Can you imagine doubting God? So I want to welcome everybody. If you're here first time, we are really glad you're here. Selena walks in. Ta-da! You're not first time here. And if you're just a new follower to Jesus, I believe that I have a message that'll encourage you and maybe give you some answers to this Christianity stuff. All right? Now, if you're oldies but goodies, you've been with the Lord for a long time, wave if you can get your arm up because you're such an oldie and goodie, right? I am hoping to challenge you today to a deeper relationship with your Lord and Savior. That's my hope, is this is what will transpire today. So I'm going to read out of two different chapters. If you'd open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today, I grabbed the New Living, all right? 2 Timothy, and I'm just going to read 5 verses starting in verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Before I read this, let me give you a little background. It's, you know, do you have a Bible that at the beginning of the chapter, they'll tell you who was writing this, when it was written, what was going on? You ought to do that. So I've stopped and I read these things because it makes you have an understanding about the author and to who they're writing it about. Otherwise, you're just going, na, 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 na. Okay? So let me give you the background in case you didn't do your study. All right. The background for 2 Timothy is it's written, of course, by the great apostle Paul. All right? And most scholars actually agree on something, that this is probably his final letter before he was going to be put to death. All right, so this is a little bit of the background. All right, so here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Oh, no, I said 2 Timothy. Sorry, I'm looking at 2 Timothy. Sorry about that. So everybody get me on track. 2 Timothy. All right, here we go. Verse 9. It is God who saved us and chose us to live a holy life. Isn't that good news right there? God chose you. You are not an accident. You are picked, all right? God chose us. He saved us and chose us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the worlds began, to show his love and kindness to us through Jesus Christ. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the coming of Christ Jesus our Savior, who broke the power of death and showed us the way to everlasting life through the good news. All right? And God chose me, this is talking about Paul, Paul saying, God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of this good news. Now verse 12, and that is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know, everybody say I know, the one in whom I trust. Yeah. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Flip over just back to Thessalonians. Let's go that way. Go backwards. Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. Everybody back there. Chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy in the presence of God. You know, some people, when you walk in a room, do they say that about you? Ooh, I have such great joy. Because you're here. Maybe not. All right, but this is Paul writing. All right, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy in the presence of God. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gap in your life of faith. Some of my translations said this, to fill the defects in your faith. Some of them say, to fill what is ever lacking in your faith. Another one said, to fill what is yet wanting in your faith. But I like this one. It says, to fill, do we have that up? To fill the gaps in your faith. Everybody say gaps. Fill. Faith. All right, gaps. All righty, now, let's pray. All right. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together here this morning. We thank you that this morning we are going to hear words from you, words that you've prepared for us. And Father, we want to know you more in a personal way so that when we leave this place, we are encouraged, hallelujah, we have passion, and we have boldness to love others in Jesus' name. And Father, we also pray for all of our kids downstairs, our youth downstairs. I thank you, Father, that today they will have a bigger, greater, clearer understanding of who Jesus is. We thank you that when they leave, oh, they're joyful in Jesus' name. Amen. There was nothing worse that, you know, I got to relax up here when my kids were little, because I wasn't up in the pulpit. And then I'd go downstairs and get my kids, and they're crying and crabby. So I got smart. Every morning I go, thank you, Father. When I pick my kids up after church, they are going to be joyful, not cranky and irritable and hungry. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's a mom prayer. Amen. All righty, let me ask you this question. Raise your hand if you have heard of fantasy football. How many of you are playing in a league? None of you? Oh, good. All right. I'm not in a league. But 2 years ago, I just heard a little rumble about this stuff. It takes a while for me to catch up on that stuff. And I was actually, what had happened, I was invited to one of Joy's friends' house for a barbecue. And it was, tons of guys, probably more guys than girls. And I could not believe the intensity of conversations about this fantasy football thing. Now, if you don't know anything about this, just fake it till you make it, right? All right. And at one point, I'm sitting here thinking, I've had three teenage daughters, and I want to tell you, there's more drama going on in these conversations with guys and girls that are on this league than I could imagine. All right? And I wanted to say, hey, guys, you know what the first word is? Fantasy football. It's not real. It didn't matter. There was a lot of intensity going on. Okay, and then this past October, I was in Kansas City for the World Series. Oh, wow. And I don't follow baseball. Okay? I've tried. I just get so bored. I read a book. And I went to the Orioles game, and I just brought a book. All right. So here I am in Kansas City for the World Series. And I learned some incredible, peculiar facts about people. Do you know people who have the game T-shirt? At least all the Kansas City people that I ran into, they had their T-shirts on. And you don't wash that T-shirt because it could be bad luck. Honest, this is what I was told. And then we went with Cameron's parents out to dinner, and they actually had just flown in. They were coming back in town, and they wanted to meet the mother-in-law. So they took us out for dinner, and Mrs. Klein comes walking in, and she's got this thing rumbled up behind her back, and she comes in, and she sits down, and I see this blue T-shirt falls out. It's her game T-shirt. Kansas City, what are they? I forgot. Chiefs? Royals. All right. See how much I know. Okay. And I'm going, and there's this little snickering going on. I go, what? So she figures, I go, whoa, what? You know, I thought something fell out. You know, something fall out. She says, oh, it's my game T-shirt. You have to wear them. It's good luck. I was like, really? So anyway, the week goes, I'm there for 5 days. I'm there for the first and second and third game. The first game, who won? Kansas City won. And the game, I am in Cassie and Cameron's apartment living room with guys and girls, and they're screaming and yelling during the game. And then when they win, horns are beeping all over town. It is this ruckus. All right, day two, they lose, down and depressed. And I'm like, what? And I go, Cassie, we're going to IKEA shopping because this is intense, really crazy. Okay, so I want to say this. Now, girls, these are guy examples, and girls have their own kind of, you know, goofy things too. But listen, when I was thinking about preparing this message, it made me think that sometimes we give greater importance to things that maybe should be over here. Amen. Now, if you like baseball, maybe over here. Okay, not down here. Okay, over here. All right? So it's sort of like we place things up here. We put things up here. That, all right, over here. This should be here, right? All right? So I was thinking about that, and my life included. Please, I feel sports, go ahead. So I found this quote, if you want to write it down, and I'm trying to remember where I got it from. I have books out all the time, and I'm like, who do I copy this from? I don't remember, okay? But it's copied, okay? Here we go. The most important things about you and me, the most important things about you and me is what we believe in God. Everybody say, is what we believe in God. All right, now. Therefore, I think what we believe in God should have great importance, deserves a great place. Our relationship with God should be up here. Amen? Be Pentecostal, will you? Amen, Pastor D, good preaching. Yeah, okay. Now, let me give you an example. All righty. How about you believe that God is this mean, angry, old guy that wants to just smash you every time you make a mistake, every time you mess up, every time the Bible calls that sin. And you believe that about God. And when you mess up, what is going to happen? You're going to run far from God because of what you believe about him. But how about you believe that God is love? Yes. God is merciful? Yes. God is always forgiving? Yes. And then you mess up, you're probably going to run to this God because of what you believe, right? All right? Amen, Pastor D. Good preaching. Now, so the Bible is, where's your Bible? Here you go. The Bible is here for all sorts of reasons, okay? And you probably have your top three reasons why this is here. But the Bible is here for many reasons. And one of the reasons is, well, first off, let me say, here in this church, we believe this Bible is the inspired word of God. It's the word of God that God inspired men of old, they were old, to write for us, okay? So we believe that this is the inspired word of God. It's one of our doctrines here. But let me tell you, one of the greatest reasons for having this is sort of like an autobiography. Everybody know what an autobiography is? Okay. This is sort of like an autobiography. And what it does is it reveals to us about someone. It reveals to us about someone, right? Alrighty? Now, yes, it reveals to us about someone, but I want to say that's the important thing. It's not so much the things you're not supposed to do, and don't do this and don't do that. And they're in here. They're in here because God loves you. But more importantly, this book reveals to us about someone. All righty? Now, this reveals the character of God. Everybody say character. The nature. Say nature. And the purposes of God. Amen. Okay. Now, I need Buck and Joanne. Get up here. I need some volunteers. Here we go. Buck and Joanne. I usually pick on Frank and Kathy. Come on. I don't want to touch your husband, so I want you to do this. All right, I'll tell you, you're going to slap this on Buck. Will these fit on your fuzzy? Okay, pull up your fuzzy for a little bit. All right, Joanne, put number one, the word one. All right, now, There's all different attributes and characteristics of God. Number one, God is one. Now, even though all throughout scriptures we see God is three in one, we see God the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, but he is one, but we see them. And you know what? They all have different personalities, but they work in a unity together. God is one. Everybody say that. Okay, what's my next one, Joanne? Immutable. I had to practice saying that word. So you're going to go, yep, immutable. All right, God is immutable. That simply means God is unchanging. All right, what's the scripture? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So I am the Lord, I change not. God is, let's say it, immutable. You have a new big word for the week. Use that in a sentence. How could you use that in a sentence? Okay, next one. God is self-sufficient. Do you know that God doesn't need our help? Do you know he's not saying, somebody get me a glass of water? No, he's self-sufficient. He exists. He is self-sufficient. Number two, God is healer. Hallelujah. Oh, no, eternal. God is eternal. I'm going to muff up Joanne here. Eternal. Unlike you and me, God does not have to operate around time. All right? He doesn't have to operate around time. And he's eternal. I don't know. I could give a whole bunch, but he's eternal. Okay, let's do God is healer. God is healer. Old Testament, we call him Jehovah Rapha, the healer. New Testament, you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, right? Okay, so God is healer. We're slapping you up there, Buck. All right. Next one, what are we up to, Joanne? Omnipresent. That means he's present in all places. He's present in all places. He's everywhere, okay? Everybody say omnipresent. Next one, and the first time I read that, I always say potent, but it's omnipotent. But guess what? The word omnipotent, thank you, means he's all-powerful, all right? So he is all-powerful. Therefore, nothing is impossible with God. I like that. Ah, yep, okay. And what are we up to? God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. He is perfect. There's no evil in him. There's no bad in him. Hallelujah. So that's like, whew, okay. Last but not least, and really, this is like the rock in my life. Yeah, I left it for last. God is love. He isn't just able to love. Thank God he does. But that is who he is. Everybody say, God is love. Stay here for a couple seconds here. Now, if you want to know how to love someone, love your spouse, love your kids, because they're, you know, making your hair turn gray, watch how God treats you. He loves you. If you want to love your teenagers and the people at work, and you want to know how to do that, watch how God treats us, all right? So God is a whole bunch of things. Now, Buck or God, you may be seated. Thank you very much. And Joanne, if you go out to eat and he walks in and going, I am God, don't tell me you went to church here because I'm going to be so embarrassed. Thank you. Let's give him a big hand. All righty. Hallelujah, God. And listen, guys, I have a commentary and stuff, and there's a whole bunch more characteristics of God, and I was just pulling some that I could do quickly, all right? But so we see many things that God is. We see many things that God is. And one of the coolest things that happens in your life is when you see who God is. Like you go through some stuff and you say, oh, this God stuff is really real. This is so cool. All right? Or how many of you, raise your hand, you remember the first time, oh my gosh, that was God. God was talking to me. All right. And then we go, this is cool stuff. Wow. How many of you remember that? First time. I was like, whoa, I think that was God talking to me. Now, flip side of that. There's nothing more frustrating. Everybody say frustrating. Than when we experience things in life that don't line up to this character, the nature, the purposes of God. Okay? There's nothing more frustrating when we experience that. Amen? All right? Now, I don't know if any of you are like me, but if you've been around the block in life a couple of times, maybe you've had some of those. I'm going to put experiences over here, and then when I point over here, this is God and his nature, all right? So how many of you have had some experiences that don't line up to that? All right? I've had a few, all right? And it's probably in those moments that you're going, huh? That's not what I read. Huh? Huh? That's not what I was taught. Huh? Huh? Okay? It's not what I thought to be true about God. Alrighty? Now, I've had a few of those personally in my life at the ripe age of 60. All right? I've had a few of those experiences, stuff that didn't line up with this, that I seem to know is true. Anybody? All right. Now, so again, this is the character and nature of God, and these are our life's experiences. All righty? And because of that, sometimes I get in this middle place. I've got the character of God, the nature of God, the plans and purposes of God, and then I've got all these my personal life experiences. And I get myself in this place. And that's where he read gaps. Everybody say gaps. Remember we were reading in, what's that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How many of you have had some of those gaps? You're in the middle. And that scripture said, Paul was desiring to come and see you to help fill in the gaps in your faith. Okay? Paul was desiring to actually encourage, to strengthen, to establish this bunch, this church, because they had some gaps in their faith. Whew, I'm not the only one that's ever had a gap in my faith. Alrighty? Now, but this interesting thing, I remember way back in the day when Jack and I graduated from Bible school 30 years ago, all right? And we walked out of there in 1981 thinking, man, we know God. We know about God. Whoa, we know a lot about God, everything about God. Yes, young and dumb and green. All right? But we were walking out there like, whoa, we know everything about God. And then a couple of decades go by, and I have some experiences in my life. Raise your hand if you've had experiences in your life. And I realized I was encountering some experiences, some things that were different than what I believed about the character of God. I was over here. I was having these things happen that didn't match what I believed, and I was stuck. I found myself in a gap in my faith, all right? And you're going, are you kidding me? You're the pastor? Yeah, I am real, okay? I have real things hit my life. Matter of fact, probably more than some of you. No, you're all going, get into the line, Pastor. You don't know what's going on in my life, okay? So the reason, because of that, I was impressed to do this message, and not because it's something I've studied hours, all right? This is something I've experienced, I've wrestled with, and I've had to walk through. And I felt of God that this would benefit you. So this is the message. It's called gaps. If you're writing notes, gaps. Gaps in your faith, all right? Now, because of this, I used to think that if you knew all these facts, God omnipotent, God omnipresent, God, all that stuff. If you knew facts, if you knew scriptures, if you read through your Bible every year program, then when these experiences, I wouldn't be in the gaps. And I'm like, well, I don't think that was working. Alrighty? So I would have these experiences over here, and I just was struggling to believe, even though I had these scriptures, even though I read my Bible every year through, you know, January started here, okay, through, I was having these experiences that left gaps in my faith. Alrighty? Now, and then to top it all off, then I'm pastoring. And not only do I have my experiences on how I judge things in life, I got all of your stories. I've got your stories, and I've got other people's stories and of experiences on and how we judge off things in life, how we judge things in life, alrighty? Now, such as if I could count the times that people would come up, especially, I remember this especially when I was doing children's ministry, and little kids would come up to me, Pastor D. Somehow they're watching the news. Don't let your little kids watch the news. Ridiculous, okay. Pastor D, we have all these tornadoes that keep hitting all over the place and, you know, the Midwest. And people, my gosh, Pastor D, people are there's hundreds of people losing their lives and they're losing their houses. What's up with that, Pastor D? And what happened is it created a gap. And that's what I was hearing. It created a gap. Not so, also for the people that were asking the question, but I started having an accumulated bunch of gaps that this was creating. Okay, now, if you've come into this place and you are of the attitude, wow, I know everything. I understand everything. Cut me a break. You all have experiences life that you probably have struggled in a gap for a season. So don't look at me like, oh, she's the pastor, we're out of here. No, I'm being really truthful with you today, all righty? Such as, how about this gap? How about when good people, Christian people, have bad things happen to them? Just watch the news. Some little innocent four-year-old child, I was watching on the news, was present, hiding underneath their bed as their dad killed their mom. What's up with that? Good people, innocent people. What's up? That left a gap. Or this one. I have a dear friend that I've known for, wow, 30 plus years. He and his wife are in the ministry. They're actually missionaries to Mexico, Guatemala, all that place down there. Okay? And I saw this on Facebook and I thought, oh, somebody must have their account or something like that. But he had taken his wife and she was having, what's a rotary cuff? Is that a rotary cuff? And their surgery. And I think it was even an outpatient thing. Went home. She was about 62 years of age, in good health. The next morning, he finds his wife dead in bed. What's up with that? What's up with that gap in your faith? And sometimes those cause gaps, doesn't it? All right? This one, if Sherry has had this happen numerous times. A teen will come in her the office and they kind of close the door and huddle and the team is just kind of breaking down in tears and said, Pastor Sherry, will you please pray for me? You know, things at home aren't good. My parents are fighting. They're throwing things. And so Pastor Sherry and the teen, they'll start praying together and that for, they'd have peace in their home. There would be love in their home. And this goes on for a year and this teen is believing and praying and believing and praying. And a year later goes by and the teen comes in speechless. Pastor Sherry, my parents are getting a divorce. I thought God would. I thought God was. All right? And we have these things and they create gaps in our life and sometimes in our faith. Right? So, here I was, this naive, young and dumb girl, and now I've experienced some things in my own personal life that don't match up with this character, that don't match up with this nature, that doesn't match up with the things that I read in my Bible, that doesn't match up with the things that I've even taught and preached. I've taught and preached, and these experiences don't match up. And I'm kind of left in the middle in a gap in my faith. And I think the gap should be getting smaller because I'm reading my Bible. And I'm finding out this gap is getting bigger, not smaller. And it's left me with some questions where I start doubting God. Listen, I start doubting and I start going, God, I don't understand. Now let me clarify. I have never doubted who my Savior is. My relationship is, I love the Lord, but I just started doubting, okay? It just got, okay? And what has happened is I started drifting away from some of the foundations that I believed, that I taught, that I preached. And I just kind of, you know, I take an inch back, all righty? Am I too truthful for you today? You all right? You okay with this? All right? All right. And then one day I had it. I locked myself in the bedroom, left the phone downstairs. I said, that's it, God. I need some answers. I can't pretend this anymore. I need some answers. So I am a list person, in case you don't know. I write lists. I put them on the side of the refrigerator, in my purse, all over the place. I write lists. So I now have a journal. And I've had it for a while. So I got that book out, and I started writing A, B, C. God, I need to know. And this is what I wrote. And if you want to write this down, you might have already. Already? God, this was my question mark to God. God, is it possible, God, to have complete faith, trust, confidence in you when I don't understand what's going on? It's just, God, is it possible? Because I'm in this middle gap period. So God, is it possible to have complete trust and confidence in you when I don't have all the answers, none of the answers, just I don't understand. So that was my question. And I'm in this bedroom and I've camped out and I'm not going anywhere. Because I've said, God, I want to trust in you, but it seems like I can't. I got faith in my heart, but I don't have it in my head, and it's getting mixed up in here. I have faith in my heart. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I know you saved me. I've got this in my heart, but my head is whirling, and I'm trying to put pieces, the character, nature of God, and all of these experiences, all righty? So, God, I don't need all the answers. I just need faith in you that I can lean on. Oh, you're the pastor? Yeah, I'm a person, okay? I'm a person. And this is the answer I felt I got impressed by God. And write this down. It's the person with a relationship with me. I got it. It's the woman, it's the man with a relationship with me that when they have these experiences, when they have these things in life, when they have this, I can't believe that happened, that they're not at the mercy. They're not, you know what I called? Their boat doesn't get capsized. Their boat doesn't go under. The person, and this is what the Lord was saying, D, it's when you have this relationship with me. So that's when, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's when this whole thing got really clear. This is when it got clear, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. First off, again, this is written by the Apostle Paul. Two, he wrote 2/3 of this New Testament. Pretty amazing guy. And if anybody understood who Jesus was, it was Paul. Everybody say, Paul was the man. Paul was the man that he's out doing his own thing and this light from heaven comes. You know who the light was, and knocks him to the ground. And he has an encounter and just changes his whole course of life. This is who's writing this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is it. And now the man is in some desperate situations. It's bad. He is imprisoned for his second time. The first time looked like a walk in the park. The first time he was allowed to go out and have guests and go walk around town as long as he had his guard with him. What do we call that? The ankle bracelet thingy today? All right. That was what it was. But this imprisonment, he is maximum security. Probably not allowed to see the light of day. The place reeks of sewage. He's in desperate situation. And this is Paul writing this. He's writing this letter to who? Timothy. Because it's written to Timothy. Okay. He's writing this, and it's his final letter he's ever going to write. He's writing this to Timothy. It's called Timothy, His True Son in the Faith. And he starts this, "My dear Timothy." All right, there's a lot of love in this. "My dear Timothy, and I know that I'm coming to the end of my life. I know this imprisonment is going to be my death. But Timothy, I want you to know some things. Timothy, I need you to know some things. Timothy, my dear Timothy." Okay, this is the background on this letter. Now, 2 Timothy 1, let's do in verse 12. "And this is why I'm suffering." He was suffering because he was a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. He hadn't committed tax fraud. He hadn't stolen or robbed a bank. He was in prison for his faith. All right, and he says this again. "And this is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed." I love this. "For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure he is able." All right, now listen. This is Paul. He probably has more faith than all of us put together in this whole room. And Paul is writing this, and he says, "Timothy, I know what I've preached. I know what I've taught. I know him. And I'm not ashamed of where I am. Timothy, my boat hasn't sunk, and I've not rocked, and I'm not in a gap because of where I am." So this caught my attention. And his answer was, "Because I know the one. I know the one in whom I trust." Everybody say that. "Because I know the one in whom I trust." Man. All right. There's a big difference. Paul was not trying to convince Timothy, "I believe this. I believe in water baptism. And I believe you have to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He wasn't trying to convince Timothy in what he believed. "I believe, you know, that we lay hands on this. I believe. He wasn't trying to convince Timothy. He said, "I was trying to convince him on who I believe. Whom I believe." He was trying to convince him that. Really, he's trying to convince him on who he trusted in. Who do you trust in? Okay. My dear husband, through the years, I thought I was sometimes stupid, but I would trust him to take me to death-defying places. Airplanes, little airplanes. Scuba dives, 3,000 feet deep. I mean, the man would up in a tree stand with the wind blowing. Because I knew the man after 30 years, and I trusted him. Some days I was like, "What is I nuts?" Okay, all right. This is better. This is Paul, and he knew who. He knew the one. He knew the one. He knew the one. Not Jack Cashman who puts you in airplanes and jumps, kicks me off of a boat, boys and girls, to go scuba diving. Okay, literally on my honeymoon. Should have told you what life was going to be about. All right. But Paul is saying, "I know the one in whom I put my trust in." And he was saying, like, "Timothy, this is God. Timothy, this is Jesus. This is the one in whom I put my trust in. This is his character. This is his nature. This is the one. This is the one, Timothy. The one, the one. I know the one who I put my trust in." Now, he didn't say, and this is so funny, he didn't say, now listen, Paul was a highly educated guy, all right? He didn't say, "It's because of my Bible school degree, so you should put your trust." He didn't say, "It's because of all the thing I've memorized." He didn't say, "I have listened to these awesome CDs by Andrew Womack 5 times, and you need to put your trust in me." He didn't say, "Because I've memorized the ABCs of faith." He didn't say that. Guys, he said, "I know the one in whom I put my trust in. Timothy, I know the one in whom I put my trust in." All right, now, Who did he put his trust in? He put himself trust in Jesus, right, guys? Now, listen, and that was my answer, because the moment you know for yourself the one who you put your trust in, and you find yourself in the middle of these life experiences, and you feel like you're in the middle of the gap, you know what happens? I look at that, and I'm over here, and then I go, but I know the one who I put my trust in, and I will now lean on, trust in, rely forever, and it will not put gaps in my faith. That's how you get out of gaps. And listen, you all will encounter life, and sometimes it is hard and it sucks, okay? And you'll run into these gaps. But when you know the one you put your trust in, you can stand with confidence. And this is what's happened in my life. I can stand in confidence no matter about those circumstances that happened to my life. Listen, the hardest thing was when Lily died. And I ran to my room, and this is when I got this. Dee, do you know me? I got real quiet, and I said, yes, I know the one in whom I put my trust in. And I could stand with confidence and say, it doesn't matter that I don't have all the answers. It doesn't matter that I can't explain what happened and why. It doesn't matter because, everybody, I know the one in whom I trust. So it's okay. It was okay. Now, let me say this. Sometimes it concerns me highly when I see people, Christians, they trust in things. They trust bunches in things, and they trust in things. Think about some of the things that you trust in. They trust more in things, and they're less attracted to Jesus. They're trusting in these things. Like, oh, I got a prophecy. Whoa, I got goosebumps. Whoa, I got oil all over me. Whoa, and they have got all their trust in things. And they are so far from running to Jesus. And listen, Jesus had this exact same problem, so I don't feel bad, all right? Here he is, especially, I think it's the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching up a sweat storm. He's swiping his forehead. And then he looks around at his disciples and he says, hey, we got to feed them. You know the rest of the story. So he ends up by feeding 5, 10, 15,000 people. The next morning, the people come out. Not because of Jesus. He said they came because they were fed things. They came because of things. Can you imagine how Jesus felt? If it was me, I would have been ticked, lightning bolts on the whole bunch. But good thing God is love. He wants you to come because of a relationship. He draw into this relationship. Amen? All right, now. Hallelujah. I don't know where I am on my notes. They were pretty good there for a while. So I'm just going to, conclusion. When I finally just got to the point where I remembered, I believed in the one, and I will trust. It's okay. Everybody say, it's okay. When you don't understand what's happening in life, when you've got the whys and you can't figure it out, it's okay. And my gap went like this. That was it. My gap got like this. Now, again, I get a little concerned. I call it the yellow flag on a football field when I see people that are so into the things, trusting that. I've got people that trust in what everybody has ever spoken over their life. And I go, well, when did you hear from Jesus? No, so-and-so spoke a word over me. Hey, if I were Jesus, that would hurt my heart. All righty? Yeah. So, how about this? But pastor, my teen is out of control. This is what I'm going to say to you. And you need to say, but Jesus. But pastor, my job, my family, my experience, and you need to say, but my Jesus, whom I know, I trust in, all right? And it's getting crazy over here, all right? Now, last story. I'm going to close. Well, let me say this. After Pastor Jack went home to be with Jesus, that did not rock me, guys. That did not rock me because I knew the one in whom I trusted in. And this is what I did. And you know when we went over the characters of God, I said the last but not least, it really is always my first. And I went back to this place. Jesus loves me. That's the character. This I know. And then I'd sing it if you weren't around. Jesus loves me. This I know. That's all I did. And I stayed in that character. I know the one whom I believe. I know. So that did not rock me. But I will tell you, how many people came up to me and said, Pastor D, I can't come back to YCF. I was like, why? Because Pastor Jack died. You know what that told me? They have put all their trust in experiences. And they do not know. Because they couldn't figure it out. They didn't have the answers. It didn't go the way they wanted it. End of the line, sister. Okay? What, are you kidding me? That told me they do not know the one in whom they trust. Now, if you would have said, I'm not coming back to Pastor Deke to YCF because I just don't like you. I was like, fine, I get it. No big deal. Probably go glad you go to the next church. Wonderful. All right? But dozens of people said that to me. And that was the beginning of me trying to figure this gap in faith. They got a gap. And when you trust more in that, I guarantee your gap gets big. But when you know the one in whom you trust, gaps are closed. Amen. Last story. I don't know if any of you know, I have 4 children. My first one I had York Hospital when they were doing construction. Jackhammer's going! Having a baby! And I said to Jack, that's it. I'm never coming back here. Okay. Because, you know, decasting can be a little rah! All right. So I proceed to have 3 children through the York County Birthing Center. Now, first off, this is not for everybody. You better hear from God if you go this route. And the reason why I did that is, well, number one, they didn't have midwives working in hospitals at that time. This is way back in 1890, y'all, okay? They didn't have midwives working in the hospitals. Now they have practices with midwives. Fantastic. So there was this birth center in Red Lion, this cute little white building with red shutters, the birthing center. Anybody remember that? Anybody know that? Yeah, see, we're way back in 1890. Okay. So I am pregnant with my last child on December 16th. Her name is Cassie. Didn't know she was a Cassie. She was supposed to be Jonathan Paul. I was like, what? You muffed up the room arrangement. What are we going to do? Okay, so I know, and this is me, I know I'm in labor. I know when I'm in labor, and I'm laboring, and then nobody else knows I'm in labor because I got 3 kids, and I'm pregnant out to here, and all my babies are so disgustingly rude and late, so I'm this big. And I'm walking around the house, and it's about 3 o'clock, and Jack, it's on a Monday because Jack is home, day off, and he's got his buddy, Matt. We called him Uncle Matt over at the house. And I've cooked everybody lunch, and I'm in labor. Okay, and every once in a while I do, okay, you ladies know what that means. We're timing this thing, okay? And then I look at, I go up to Matt. I need a boy. You need to go home now. Matt stands up, and he's sitting there. He's like, she's yelling at me. I said, I'm going to have a baby now. Get out of here. And Matt got up, and he walked in a circle. I don't know how many times. He ran out of the house. So at that point, I don't know how close. They're getting close. I called the midwife, and she said, I'll be there. She's in Red Lion. I'm in York, New Salem. Okay, I'm cool. Put on my little birthing outfit here, you know, guys. You know. Okay, and I go upstairs, and I'm just kind of getting everything ready. And I'm going, oh, ah, 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 ah. And Jack comes in, and he goes, wow, Dee, no problem. I could do, her name was Barb. She was my midwife. Well, my baby, no problem. I can do this. I can do Barb's job. No problem. This was not jumping an airplane stuff, okay? All right. I can do your job. Just lay down. And I go, honey, you stick to preaching because you are not Barb. But you know, these cash mints, they push. You say no once, they don't even hear you. And they push. And we know a couple of those, right? Okay, so we're starting this. But D! But D! And I'm going, Barb, where are you? Okay. But D, I've been with you on some of the appointments. D, I've been there for every one of the baby's births. I'm like, well, no. You are not Barb. I want Barb. Okay. And then get one more time. Jack, just pushing. But D, I've watched this. I even looked down at that. No. I said, you know why? You do not have a wall full of certificates that say you're qualified. And over here is the baby photo picture. That means you have not delivered hundreds of babies. No. I'm going with Barb. In Jesus' name, hurry up, Barb. In Jesus' name, hurry up, Barb. Because I believe that Barb can take care of me. Guys, I believe that who can take care of you? By the way, Barb comes, the rest of the story. Barb, I hear she hits the driveway, running up the stairs. She goes, yes, you're going to have a baby now. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jack. And it was a girl. Jack, it was a girl. All right. All righty. Now, I don't know where I could do this here. Again, I believe that Barb can take care of me. And I'm telling you, if God could speak audibly in this place, but God can if he would, to speak audibly in this place, he's saying the same thing. You are you. You are man. You are woman. You are Dina. You are you. But I am God. I will be who I say I am. I will do what I say I am. And if I just do it differently than what you thought it should be on my time, I will still be God. I will still be God. And whether it shows up in heaven on that side or this side, okay, I will still be God. I will still be God. And I was like, oh, let's have a baby, all right? The problem is sometimes we lean on everything but God who will take care of us. We do. And the gap gets bigger and the more things in life, okay? So, again, sometimes I think we think it's how much we know, how much we believe, and it's not, but it really is who. Everybody say who. Bunch of owls, who. Okay, so question, are you quick to judge? Are you quick to judge your experiences with the character? Are you quick to judge it that way? Or are you quicker to judge the character with your experiences? All right, So when you have this stuff happen, basically I confused myself, but anyway, when you have this happen, judge it by who God is and say, I don't care. I know the one in whom I trust. Amen? Amen. All righty, let's pray. Everybody just close your eyes. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are faithful always. That's who you are. You are love. That's who you are. And Father, if we have doubted your love, your faithfulness, your character, and we've backed away, we thank you that we're for the forgiven. Amen? We're the forgiven. We let you in. We draw near to you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've gone through some gaps in your faith. And maybe you're in the middle of gap and it's big and it's growing wider. But at this moment, I believe in the presence of God is here. And if you ask him, God, help me renew my trust in you, he'll do it. He does it. Would you allow your faith to be renewed? Would you lock yourself in your bedroom and just let God renew you to the one that you know you believe in? Everybody say, I love you. I love you, God. Now, if you're here, And you'd say, Pastor D. Everybody's eyes shut here for a second. If you'd hear here and you'd say, Pastor D, I got a gap. My gap's so big, I don't even know who the Lord Jesus is. If you're here and you'd say, but Pastor D, I'm tired of being in the middle. I'm tired of the gap so wide. And I'd like, I want, I need Jesus in my life. If you'd like to invite Jesus into your life because you have gap, would you just raise your hand? Nobody, everybody's eyes are shut. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get your PIN number. I'm just asking you, would you raise your hand and you'd say, Pastor D, that's me. This gap. Matter of fact, I've got so many gaps, it just is hurts. I don't know Jesus, and I would like Jesus to come in that I might know him. And I'll tell you what, if you ask Jesus into your life, you will never be the same. He will never leave you. He's always merciful in your life. That's who Jesus is. So is there anybody here? Would just raise your hand real high so I can see it. And you'd say, Pastor D, I'd like Jesus in my life. Or maybe you're here and you have put Jesus far out of your life. And you'd say, Pastor D, I want him back in my life. By the way, he's always at the door. We're the ones that do the take a step away. But if you're here and you say, Pastor D, I've just moved him away and I'd like to just come back to just knowing him. You just raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, I see those hands. Good, good. All righty. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You just say, you know, either I don't know him or I want him back. I want full speed ahead. All right? How about you all say this with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin debt. I open the doors of my heart. I open my life. Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. And for those of you, well, let me finish this. If Jesus has been your Savior and you've just kind of shut the door on him leading, that's what the Lord does. By the way, he leads. Then you say this again. I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Amen. All right. I thank you for coming. Everybody say, I'm now a child of God. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. And everybody go, the gap is shut. Amen. Because I know the one whom I trust in. Amen. All right, you guys. Next week, we're going to do part two on doubting God. So bring a friend, especially if they've had questions. I had questions. Things didn't match. Bring friends, okay? Y'all have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.